Thank you for inviting me, and excited to be here to participate in the Chiefs process. Everyone has my resume, of course. It's been on the website and things like that, so everyone knows where I'm coming from and what my history is and things like that. Just want to mention a couple things dealing with some of my strengths that I would bring to the city of Champaign. And the main thing is my community policing background. I started community policing in the city of East Lansing back in the early 90s. We ran that program for a good 10 years. It was my responsibility to make sure that the whole department was organized and set up in a situation where all the police officers were able to be community policing in our city. And that has been one of my strengths ever since the early 90s. And it's actually a way for us to police East Lansing. It's done a wonderful job for us over the years. Also, my staff development initiatives. I've spent many years developing our own staff internally. I felt that it's very important for us. Although our supervisors get promoted for their skill sets that they bring to the organization, it's also important to develop them to be better leaders as they move up the ranks. So I spent a lot of my time currently and over the last 10 years developing our staff from the sergeant, lieutenant rank with different programs and initiatives to make sure that they have the leadership skill sets that's important for them to be a better manager and better staff supervisor in our organization. And finally, of course, my interpersonal communication skills I think are one of the strengths that I would bring to the city. Although these kind of forms, you know, may not be the best, and my public speaking may not be the best, but interest and desire to work with individuals on a personal basis, dealing with them individually and listen to their concerns, either staff or community or my bosses and things like that, I feel I have a very strong ethic when it comes to my communication skills when it deals with individuals and addressing their concerns and what's important to them.
Thank you, Candidate Johnson.
You're welcome.
At this time, I'll begin the questions. Okay. What in your background, candidate, prepares you to be the Champaign Chief of Police?
It goes all the way back from growing up in Detroit, Michigan, many, many years ago. Just my upbringing, dealing with how my folks raised me, treating people with dignity and respect. I've always was raised that way, and I continue to do that when I'm at my place of work. And, of course, my education and experience over the last 30 years at East Lansing Police Department would make me a strong candidate just because of the different divisions I've worked in, my different rank system, and the opportunity to work on different projects that would be extremely beneficial for this city.
Thank you. What will you do to change and improve relationships and trust between the department and the African-American community?
I think first of all, we have to start out with just getting back into the community. Not too sure how receptive that would be, but I feel that the only way we can to make improvements is for us to get back into community. And being a one person out of 150 person department sounds like a big task, but I need the staff around me to get back into community and listen and communicate to see what's important. And make some efforts and look at some long-term solutions to some problems that they have generated that we may or may not have already addressed. But it's important for us to be open, try and develop a sense of trust with the organization, between the city and also with our staff, making sure that we are in a position to provide a service that's necessary for the community.
Thank you. Explain your understanding of the Federal Secure Communities Program and your opinion of this initiative.
Very limited experience with that, the securities program. We don't have much experience with that in East Lansing. I don't know much about it, but wanted to learn and listen and understand it and enforce the laws that's out there in the books and make sure we do it in the proper method and the legal and ethical way of enforcing new laws or laws that are on the books.
Thank you. How important is it to rebuild the morale of the police department?
Haven't been with the police department much. I think I meet with them tomorrow morning. I'm not sure where the morale is with the department, but I think any time when a change of leadership takes place, mm-hmm. it's a time for us to get to know each other and one another, see where the morale is. If the morale is a little lower than I would expect, we would basically start building trust with each other, start communicating, starting to put things on the table as I talk about the gray things. It's easy for police to deal with the black and white issues, what's legal and what's not legal, what the laws are. But the gray issues on the table are very difficult to discuss in our command structure. But it's important for us to do that. Sometimes we brush that stuff under the bread plate. And we know it's there, but we don't want to deal with it. But it's important for us to get that stuff from underneath the bread plate and address those issues as leaders within the organization. If they see us working towards a common good and common goals, they will realize that the officers behind us will say that, well, they are serious about what they want to get accomplished. It's high integrity. They want to communicate with one another, and they want to be upfront and personal. And I think sometimes in our organization, we put things that should be addressed a little upfront and personal, and we don't do that enough. So I think the communication piece is critical, being upfront and honest and talking about things that need to be talked about. And I think that will help to get things moving in the right direction.
Thank you, Candidate Johnson.
You're welcome.
African Americans make up 16% of the driving public in Champaign. The 2010 Illinois Department of Transportation report shows that they comprise 34% of all stops in Champaign. How would you address the apparent racial disparity in traffic stops?
I think, first of all, it's an interesting question. First of all, I think my responsibility is with the police department. How is my responsibility to see why is that occurring? And for me to throw on the uniform and work with the officers on the street a little bit, talk to our command staff and seeing what areas they're targeting that may be of an issue for us to be making traffic stops with the disparity higher than the average drivers we have in the city. Mm-hmm. There may be targeted intersections dealing with high accident crime scenes or where there's been issues, school zones and things like that. So we just have to see what's out there to see what needs to be addressed. If there are issues that it's disproportionate because of how they're stopping them and individuals where they're stopping them at, it becomes my responsibility to dig down deep into that gray area and start talking to them about what's going on and why are we making those stops. I have no problems. If our people are writing stops and making traffic stops because they're speeding and it's like everyone else is doing it, it just happened to be a person of color and things like that, we still got to do our police work, which is critical. I think it's a growing situation for me. We're trying to understand, you know, what's going on, but address and look at it. If everything's above board, have other people ride with us and see everything's above board. We're targeting certain intersections or neighborhoods because of the community's concern. I have no problem. But if we're just picking on people just to pick on people, that's not how we do business either.
Thank you. What are your thoughts about a citizens review board?
We don't have them in East Lansing. I've been working as a cop there for 30 years. Our community supports the police. We've been very transparent how we do policing in East Lansing. It's a college town, of course. So I'm not in favor of the citizen review board. But from that standpoint, we have to make sure that we just ask for patience and say, give us time or give me time to work with the police department and see where we're at. We may be doing great investigations. We may be covering everything we need to cover, and we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Our job is to market ourselves a little bit better, get the information out, to say what we're doing, what we're not doing properly. If that still doesn't work, and you give me some time to try and make our investigation a little more transparent, you're not real happy with it. The boss says we're going to have a citizen review board. We all got bosses, and I have no problem going on that route either. But the education piece, I would hopefully that the citizen review board, we as police officers and the people who are doing our investigations currently in the police department, will help educate the citizen review board They spend time with us, and we have some ground rules of how they investigate also. And then we have added, and they join the investigation part of the when it comes to police conduct or misconduct. And it's not I don't think it's the end of the world or anything like that. It's a growing thing. And I just really quick, we have video cameras in our cars. And years ago, police officers didn't want to be in a police car without they didn't want video cameras in their cars. Now they don't want to be in a car without one, just because it's so important. So, if we're forced to have a citizen review board, we'll make sure we do it and we move forward. And I think as long as we're doing everything the right way, treating people with dignity and respect, we are okay.
Thank you, candidate.
Thank you.
How do you feel about a residency requirement for officers?
I'm not in favor of a residency requirement of our officers. It's difficult to my responsibility as a police chief is to make sure that we have the best people we hire to police and service our community. Mm-hmm. And we may have those individuals who come from surrounding communities, and it would be a shame for us to not allow them to still live in their community where they maybe have grown up, where they're comfortable with, but they couldn't work here because they have to live in the city. I'm not in favor of that. I think it's also critical for us to look within our community who may already be here and start developing ways to get people to join our police force who may already live in the city. And that becomes my responsibility, making sure we have a great hiring and recruiting team that's out there looking in the community and getting people who know the community, who wants to police the community, who wants to give back to the community. But I think it's our responsibility to try and identify those individuals and, as I call them, hook them in and show how good local law enforcement is and what they can do to provide service to the community.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Candidate Johnson, there have been several high-profile police incidents over the last few years that have created concern in the community. These include an incident involving the use of pepper spray and a shooting death by an officer. What steps will you take to reduce community anger and fear and to repair the harm done to police community relations?
It's a big challenge. Hopefully, it's a group effort. I will bring my energy and resources to give back with the community, address their concerns, making sure I have staff with me at all times where people can see more faces of the police department besides just myself. Open up dialogue. And get back into the community where we're actually doing more problem solving and become a little more transparent. I don't like this is one of those cliche words, of course, that's out there right now, but we just have to be more open to our community and show what we do and so people have a better understanding of what we do day in, day out. I think the repairing of those relationships, we have to spend some time building trust with one another, mm-hmm. and they get to know me a little bit, and they get to know the organization a little bit, we get to know the community a little bit more. And the more we're around and trying to make a difference, hopefully they realize that our department's gonna do what's right, do the best that we can, and treat others with dignity and respect. And those are the three platforms that I will bring to Champaign. That's what I live by. And if our people can't live by those, we have some issues there. But if we're doing things right and we treat people with dignity and respect and we're doing the best way we can, we'll be okay. I think the community will start seeing that we're doing the right thing. And I think it's important for us to get that, I call it marketing, get that back out into the community, let them know that we're serious about making sure we work together in this community and not against each other. It doesn't work that way.
Thank you. Candidate Johnson, tell us about successful interactions, experiences, or programs that you have been involved with that make you confident that you can earn respect and build trust with community youth.
We have a police athletic league up in East Lansing where we deal with the youth in our community, where we have basketball programs and dodgeball programs. We spend time in our neighborhoods with small groups. We're in our schools, which has done a great job for us and the community. And the one thing that we try and do is we just try and be available, and we try and do things that the community we do it for granted, but sometimes the community doesn't know about it. Just the regular programs we put on, crime prevention programs, things like that, shop with a cop, things of that nature, where we are always trying to expose ourselves with the youth of the community and showing that we're here as a resource and trying to help everybody and be just a part of the community. That shop with a cop program, we just finished that last weekend, and that's just one of these things that we feel good about ourselves when we're doing something just one day to help and just to build that little small relationship that, you know, we got kids too, and we just want to help out and buy some toys and buy some Christmas presents for something else. So those kind of small programs have been good for us, and I've been part of those type of programs that will help show some stuff dealing with youth. I spend a lot of time on my volunteer hours dealing with a lot of youth in out of the Detroit area. As just volunteer time, it's not police related, but it's a great organization for me to be a part of and give back to the community.
Thank you, Candidate Johnson. What should be the standard criteria for the use of force policy, and what type of training is needed to ensure that officers apply force properly?
It's important for us to have continuous use of force training. It's critical for us to go over the policies and procedures, review the policy procedures every year, making sure we cover everything, and our officers and our staff understand what they can and cannot do in that use of force policy. It's funny, in my use of force, we go through use of force training three times a year up in East Lansing. One time a year, we sit in the room and we have to read the policy and procedure out loud. So I feel like I'm in fourth grade, but we got to read a book out loud. But we all have to read certain paragraphs until we get through the whole policy. It's like a 12-page document that we do, but we knew it and we learn it. But we feel it's very confident. We have tasers in East Lansing. We deploy them in a proper manner because our use of force instructors are the best, we think, in Michigan. They do a wonderful job of getting us trained, telling us how we need where our issues are, and telling us what our parameters when we can and cannot use a particular use of force. And it's been a wonderful issue. So at the proper training, strong guidelines that everyone understands, and consistent message that we will use what's necessary to affect the arrest or things like that.
Thank you. This will be your final question. Would you support implementation of cultural and linguistic training as part of the department's training plan?
I used to teach cultural diversity to law enforcement in Michigan many years ago, and that cultural diversity training is good to one part, but it's not good in another part, because sometimes I ran into a lot of resistance. That we go to, a 2-day training of cultural diversity, they learn cultural diversity, and after 8 hours or 16 hours, okay, that was great, and they go back and they still do what they've been doing, being goofballs or whatever else. But it's important. I think training is important. It's nice to have it, nice foundation, but we have to develop a culture in an organization where we just start respecting one another, no matter what the race is, but we just have to learn and get to know each other so we can just have a respect for one another, and the color thing just goes away. And then they don't have to worry about any training, because they just treating our neighbors like anybody else, or treating someone in the street like anybody else. And it's that's on-the-job training sticks a little closer to home instead of an 8-hour or 16-hour training. So not to disregard training, but it's not the cure-all. And I've seen it for many, many years in East Lansing, and it's far from the cure-all. It just has to be a belief how we want to treat our community. And that's the critical part for us to do and try and understand. It'd be my responsibility to try and develop that culture in the organization where we just start treating everyone with dignity and respect. It starts with me, the command staff, and all the way down to the one-year cadet who's working the front desk.
Thank you. At this time, we would like to invite you to provide us with 2 minutes of closing remarks.
Thank you.
Sure.
Just once again, thank you. Thank you for the council member and city manager for inviting me down to participate in this last group of candidates. I just want to say that for the city manager and for the council to have this open forum for the community, council and the city manager, Mr. Carter, they are concerned about this community. The four candidates up here that you saw today, we're concerned about the community, because if we weren't concerned, we'll be back home, you know, watching TV or watching the basketball game on TV, whatever, tonight. So the four candidates are concerned about the community. They want to make a difference whoever gets here. So I think that's important, seeing the people in the room and the people on TV who gets to watch this thing for, like, next 2 weeks. They are concerned because they want to make sure that the next chief is going to be a part of the community and make sure that the police department is part of the community, and that would be the job and responsibility of the police chief. And I feel that's important, and I have those qualities. I think I can not necessarily rally the troops, but we can work together and just work together and make sure we are part of the community just like anybody else. I feel a little disappointed when the police think they're separate from the planning department or somewhere else, the DPW department, and that doesn't work in my book. We all work for the city, and it's important for us to start thinking about that, and that would be my role, and that's the chief's role.
Thank you, Candidate Johnson.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you.